This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Scott Simon is away. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
Isn't it a fact, Dr. Rice, that the August 6 PDB warned against possible attacks in this country? And I ask you whether you recall the title of that PDB.
I believe the title was Bin Laden Determined to Attack Inside the United States. Now, the PDB,
you.
No, Mr. Benveniste, I would like to finish my point here.
I didn't know there was a point.
You asked me whether or not it warned of attacks.
Asked you what the title was.
9/11 Commissioner Richard Benveniste questioning National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice on Thursday about a PDB, a presidential daily briefing issued a month before the 9/11 attacks. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Dan, hi.
Good morning, Linda.
Now, Dr. Rice went on to say in that conversation with Mr. Benveniste, that testy conversation, that the presidential briefing of August 6, 2001 contained mostly historical information, mm-hmm. but now the contents of that document are being leaked, and mm-hmm. some of the information was not that old and may have warned of an impending threat.
Well, I'll tell you, it was really incomprehensible to me from the start. Condoleezza Rice could say that this was mainly a historical document when the caption on it was Bin Laden Determined to Attack Inside the United States. I don't see how that could have been history. Well, as you say, the document began to leak while the administration looks at it once again, preparatory to making it or large parts of it, with lots of other parts blacked out. But they are apparently going to put it out in some form or other, but therefore the leaks have started, and from the leak we learn that there were indications of a support network for the terrorists in this country. There were plans for attacks using explosives, and they also planned on hijacking of planes. This was 5 weeks before 9/11, and yet apparently nothing was done, and I can now imagine why the president is spending so much time on his ranch.
Dan, Dr. Rice testified for about 3 hours on Thursday. What more did we learn?
Well, first of all, we learned a lot about Condoleezza Rice, who's a very cool and collected lady who held her own against all these people. Furthermore, we learned that they apparently are sticking to their basic thesis in terms of substance, and that is that there was no silver bullet, meaning there was no one thing which, had we known it, would have enabled us to avert 9/11. That is likely to become a crucial issue as the investigation proceeds, because there is a big question as to could the White House have known, should the White House have known enough to really go and chase them down.
Turning now to the other major story of the week, a growing insurgency in Iraq has killed scores of U.S. troops over the past several days and hundreds of Iraqis. The U.S. military has called for a ceasefire in Fallujah. The governing council has called for a more general ceasefire. Anyone responding?
Well, not that we've yet heard. The purpose of a ceasefire would be to supply the civilian population and to evacuate the wounded. And if there's been a response, I'm not aware of it. The danger is, however, that asking for a ceasefire will be taken as a sign of weakness.
There's also been some evidence this week of mutual sympathy, if not cooperation, between former enemies, insurgent Shiites and insurgent Sunni groups. What would be the significance of those two groups coming together and making common cause, fighting the U.S. occupiers?
Well, they've been historically hostile towards each other. I mean, when you talk about Shiites and you talk about Sunnis, the Sunnis under Saddam Hussein ran that country, and they oppressed the Shiites. And if after now, with Saddam Hussein out of the way, the Shiites can make common cause on anything with the Sunnis, that is a very interesting and potentially a very important development. This is a kind of coalition other than the kind of coalition that we generally hear about. The they will. I don't know if it's a tactical alliance, if it's just an alliance in some places, but I must say, from what little I know about Iraq, I would not have predicted that once the Shiites were able to establish the fact they are a 60% majority, that they would make common cause in a fight with Sunnis.
So far, they appear to be, I think, making this alliance at a very low level, so it sort of hasn't percolated up yet.
Right.
What about the possibility that this insurgency could just capsize plans for a U.S. turnover of power to the Iraqis, which is supposed to happen at the end of June?
Well, so the president says, sort of over my dead body. It can happen. Of course, it can happen, but they're not going to signal any possibility of it happening until they get closer to the date. The president keeps saying, we're staying the course no matter what. We're going to transfer authority to an Iraqi authority on June 30th. He's not clear yet on what that Iraqi authority will be, but I don't know what to say. It's not possible under present conditions that they'll be transferring authority, and yet I don't want to be pessimistic about it.
Dan, there have been some kind of ugly developments. Attacks on foreign nationals appear to be a gathering threat to the U.S. and its allies. Three Japanese civilians are being held hostage. Others are reportedly in the hands of insurgents, including an unidentified man believed to be an American. Will these incidents, do you think, decide how fragile the U.S.-led multinational force is?
I'm afraid so. I mean, obviously, when you've got in Japan now the horrible thing that they're going to burn three Japanese alive unless all the Japanese troops are withdrawn immediately, you know that if you give in to that kind of thing, that you encourage more of it. And so you have to sort of grit your teeth and say, we may lose one, we may lose two, we may lose three. But the only way to be able to stay in this game is to say we're a big, mature country, and if we lose a few people in the course of doing what we have to do, so be it. Now, I don't know if it's going to be that way. And it'd be interesting to know whether the person with an American accent who has just been captured and taken hostage will actually be the test case for America. But it begins to remind me of Lebanon in the 80s, when the principal weapon of the terrorists was taking hostages.
What about U.S. troop numbers? There are some indication that more troops may be sent to Iraq.
Well, at a moment, the troop strength at $135,000 is effectively being increased by a process of postponing planned redeployments. You have people coming in and people not going out, and that gives you a higher figure. Military commanders are now talking about whether they need to further reinforce. General John Abizaid would like to bring in troops from Europe or even from the United States. And Secretary of Defense Don Rumsfeld, who for a long time has said we have all the troops we need, now says there'll be more troops if they're requested by the commanders.
Very quickly, Dan, do you think this, what's happening in Iraq, could overtake the economy as the biggest issue coming up in the election?
Well, for the moment, you see Senator Kerry acting as though it's the economy, stupid, that you still have to worry about. He has made mention of Iraq in a couple of speeches, but on the whole, talks about tax cuts and his general program for the economy. There seems to be no doubt that at some point that you will have Iraq intruding into this debate. It's just very difficult to say when.
Thank you very much, Dan, and don't call me stupid. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore.